You know, I always like to take this opportunity to talk about myself.
Woo!
Looking man, the best dressed man. You know why? Woo, because my name's Ric Flair.
Woo!
Hello, and welcome to the only six-star wrestling podcast on planet Earth. This is the World Class Podcast. I'm your co-host, Jordan the Body Fox, and with me, as always, is the man, the myth, the legend, the great Blackish Hype, Ray Cash. Ray, what's up, man?
So what changed from yesterday to today for me going from great Black Hype to the great Blackish Hype?
Well, I seen a commercial for Blackish, the show today. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do a little play on words, talk a little, not carny, but, you know, kind of emulate carny a bit. Even though that's not emulating carny, but, you know, I just thought, you know, Carney sounds kind of ridiculous at times, and Blackish kind of sounds ridiculous, you know, calling you the Blackish Hype.
I got you. I mean, I still don't think I live up to that, but sure, why not? What's going on, man?
Not much, man. How's your morning going?
It is interesting. I am catching up with the world, and that is always interesting, but yes.
I know, man. We started later than usual. It is 8:55 a.m. right now. We've started an hour and 25 minutes later than what we normally do. It's weird, isn't
it? Yeah, it is, but you know, we do this every day. So, you know, it's as much as it's not like we got a studio to go to, you know, like we're doing this from home.
Right, right.
So, you know, things pop up, stuff happens, people oversleep. People have, you know, you have kids, I have kids, you know, like, shit happens.
Yeah, for sure. My goal one day, speaking of studio, dude, my goal one day is to have like a 10 by 10 or, you know, 15 by 15 room that's got, you know, that's soundproof and it's got a mixing board and just the works, and I want it like in my house or like, you know, a separate building, you know, like a man cave, but it's going to be like a recording studio, not a full-on one, you know, that you see, you know, fucking Dre or someone working in, but, you know, something that I could do the show from, and I'll have, you know, the ability to bring two or three other people in there with me if I want, and or I can, you know, do a Skype session in there and record and just like, yeah, man, that's my dream. That's my dream one day.
You took the words out of my mouth. You sound like a backpack rapper right now.
A backpack?
Yo, man, when I get older, I'm going to get my own studio, and I'm going to have this in it, and you know, and I'm going to be able to do what I want and produce how I want. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you sound like a backpack rapper.
I've never heard them called backpack rappers before.
Well, it's a specific... A backpack rapper... Backpack rapper is a specific type of rapper. Like Kanye when he started was a backpack rapper.
Yeah.
Drake when he started was a backpack rapper. And backpack rappers are more the guys who are more lyrical and conscious and like the stuff to talk about. Like it's just a genre of rap.
Gotcha. I gotcha.
Yeah. But the enduring quality about most backpack rappers is they came from nothing, and they are trying to make it.
Right.
Because once you make it, I doubt you're going to continue to be a backpack rapper.
Yeah, I could see what you're saying there. I'm picking up what you're putting down, bruh.
So Jordan, the Body Fox, a.k.a. backpack rapper.
I'm going to have to add it to my Twitter bio, man.
Bro, sooner or later, your Twitter bio is going to be longer than your Twitter timeline.
Oh, man. All right, dude. Well, today, we thought we would take it kind of easy. Neither one of us were able to finish SmackDown, so what we're going to actually do is we're going to move SmackDown to tomorrow morning. But I do have one question. that I want to ask you. What part of, you said you got to watch some of SmackDown. Which part of SmackDown did you get to watch?
The last thing I remember seeing before I had to leave, I had run a lot of errands yesterday and I was at my cousin's house. But the last thing I remember was Big Cass coming out to do his promo.
Okay, so you hadn't seen Charlotte Flair, Asuka, or Becky Lynch backstage in their little three-person...
they call themselves, like the Avengers or something like that?
Yeah. Asuka did. But what was funny to me... This is a question I'm going to ask, because you didn't need to see it for me to ask you this question. All I got to do is tell you what Charlotte said. Charlotte said, she said, I want to get revenge on Carmella, and this is a direct quote this part, because of how she took the title off of me. Now, I got two questions. Mm-hmm. Number one, did she just talk like all of us marks? Did she use mark speech right there? And two, do you like that or don't like that?
That don't sound like mark speak to me.
You don't think so? I've never heard a wrestler say, like, you know, I've only heard, like, you know, smart fans talk like that, where it's like, man, that, you know, the way they took the title off of her, you know, yada, yada, yada. I've never heard a wrestler talk like that. Every time they say something, I always hear them say, you know, the way I lost the belt, how I won the belt, how I was cheated out of the belt, you know what I mean? Stuff like that.
Okay, so I get what you're saying, but I feel like it's different context, because there's a difference in saying, well, the way they took the title off of that person, uh-huh, and there's a difference, and then saying, well, I got beat down, jumped, and a person used a Money in the Bank contract to beat me. So she didn't beat me for the title, she took it from me.
Gotcha. Well, she said took it off me, though. That's what made me...
So you think
she was using it in different contexts than what we use it as?
I think so. Okay. I could be wrong. Maybe I didn't hear it. I haven't heard it. Maybe the way she said it would make me feel like you feel. But just hearing it off the top of my head... No, plus, I don't think that's a mark statement. But you know I'm different. I'm always the guy at the party by myself in the corner. So... Maybe it's just me, but that don't sound markish to me, you know?
I got you. That's just something that I didn't hear a wrestler say all the time, so I was just like, yeah, you know what, that's unique. I'm not complaining about it. I just wanted people's opinions on, you know, like, if they thought that's how Mark speaks. Well, I know that's how, like, you know, smart fans talk. We don't sure. usually say losing the belt or winning the belt. I mean, we do, but most of the time it's, you know, we refer to, they took the belt off of Hogan so he could go make the movie No Holds Bar, right? We don't say he lost the belt to go make the movie. Most of the time, anyway.
Sure.
And so I actually thought it was kind of cool to see a wrestler talking similar to the same fashion that me and my friends and my peers do, our friends and our peers do. Does that make sense? I thought it was kind of cool.
And let me say this too, real quick, just to kind of add some context. One, the way I like my wrestling to be when people talk is don't insult my intelligence, right?
Uh-huh. So right,
talk like a normal person. It's part of the reason why people like Ambrose and Joe are such great talkers, because they're not out here just saying crazy stuff. Like Dean Ambrose cuts promos like you would imagine if Jonathan Good was talking to you in front of your house. And that's endearing to me, number one.
Right.
And I think that's why people don't like Roman's promo skills, because he doesn't sound like that. Number two, you call it mark speak, if you will, or how we talk to each other. Well, the reason we talk like that is because the wrestlers initially talk like that, because all these mark speak we hear and all these terms we've heard, we didn't just figure them out, you know? Like, they didn't just make them up.
That's a good point.
Fans didn't make up kayfabe. They had been around for decades. We just finally got privy to it. So, you could argue that the way we talk is how the wrestlers actually talk. It's just the business gotten to the point where they don't want us to do that anymore. But in a bunch of interviews, you hear them use terms heel, babyface, angle, powder. Like, you hear them use these terms now because business is different.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we started, we got that from them. We just have taken it over.
I totally get that. I totally get that. Yeah, we'll have to talk about it more tomorrow after you see it, because I thought it was cool, and that's why I was asking. But that is a answer. The answer you gave me is an answer I was expecting to hear from at least somebody that, yeah. You know, it may have sent, which is basically, you know, what you said was, is that you may have taken it like that, but she probably used it in a different context. And I was expecting that answer. And I was also expecting at least one of the people that we know that hosts a podcast or is a smart, you know, considers himself like a smart fan or something, you know, someone saying that they did not like that, that they would rather be in character. Because some people, you know, prefer, you know, to always see the wrestlers in character. Some of them, you know, and other fans would much rather, you know, kayfabe just be completely done away with and, you know, focus maybe more on the in-ring part of the wrestling business. You know, there's a bunch of different types of fans. But anyway, that was just my whole question, is I thought it was kind of cool. I was like, huh, just kind of slid that in there, if that's how she meant it, you know, kind of cool.
Well, before we get to what we're going to talk about, well, at least the main topic, because it's whatever goes, but let me ask you this, and maybe this will start a dialogue. Do you, outside of Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy, and I'm sure there's a couple other people that I'm, you know, off the top of my head that I got to think about, you know, Kane and stuff like that. But outside of, like, people like that, are there any characters in the WWE? Because I would argue that everybody in the WWE now, the majority, 90% of the wrestlers in WWE right now, they're not playing characters. They're truly playing themselves with character traits just turned up. For example, Daniel Bryan is not much different than Bryan Danielson. Dean Ambrose is not much different than Jonathan Goode. Seth Rollins is not much different than Colby Lopez. Finn Balor is not much different than Fergal DeVitt. You know what I mean? Like, most of the wrestlers now, I feel like the business has changed to where it ain't like you have a gimmick. Dustin Rhodes is playing Goldust, and they're nothing alike.
Right.
Everybody's pretty much playing an extension of themselves. Whether you like it or not, the dude Roman Reigns is pretty close to Joe Noy, you know? Like, a lot of these guys, you know, AJ Styles is Alan Jones, literally. Shinsuke Nakamura is pretty much the same guy. You know, like, I'm curious to know your opinion on that, being that, you know, you're kind of on the other end of the mark spectrum as me, or the smart spectrum as me, rather. But I don't think there's a lot of traditional gimmicks anymore.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with you. I would probably argue that Dean Ambrose is pretty close to, if not a full-blown character. I don't know how, you know what I mean? But other than, I mean, and that's just my opinion, too. You know, this question is opinion-based.
We don't know the guy, yeah, so maybe, yeah.
Well, yeah, yeah. And, you know, there's no way to prove our opinion, if that makes sense. It's just a opinion question. I like the question, and I think you're completely right. That's the only thing that I would disagree on is I would imagine, and I don't know that for sure, I would imagine Dean Ambrose is, if that's how he really is in real life, I want to befriend him, because that, he is fucking crazy, bro. I love it.
Well, like, I'm basing a lot of my opinion, especially on these newer guys, on documentaries.
Gotcha.
And every documentary I've seen with Dean in it in some form or fashion, while he's not the lunatic fringe, he's extremely quirky.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I seen an interview with him when he was in CZW. And they took a skill saw to his head. Have you ever seen that interview?
Yeah.
And he was straight fraternity boy. He was straight frat boy. He was like, looky here, man. If you really thought that I put a skill saw on my forehead, then you're a fucking idiot. I was just like, what a goofball, man.
So you see what I'm saying?
The more I talk about it, maybe that is exactly how he is, you know?
But then Renee Young has also come out and said that he's extremely introverted and quiet. So it's you know, that's why, you ever heard the term when they talk about, like, Austin and Rock, for example? When they talk about the term, I'm taking a portion of my personality and turning the volume up to 10.
Right.
So maybe that describes Ambrose much like it describes Austin Rock, because Austin isn't a alcoholic, you know, violent boss beater. Like, he's not that guy. But there's an aspect of that personality, of his personality, that he turns up to 10 that allows him to tap into that. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, like, Rock isn't the... Well, no, actually, Rock is... Yeah, he's pretty much... Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, Dwayne Johnson is, like, a really sweet, nice person. But he can turn that part of his personality up where he becomes the jock who makes fun of everybody.
Right, right.
But I feel like this generation, more Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Tell me what the difference between Kevin Owens and Kevin Steen is. There isn't one. In fact, his character is literally who he is in person. His character is that I love wrestling. I sacrifice everything. I have a family, and I'm fighting to win so I can bring money to my family. Kevin Steen is a guy who loves wrestling. You know what I'm saying? Like, so this generation just, I feel like it's evolved to, you know, being ultra realistic in that sense.
Right. I got you.
Even guys like the Authors of Pain. Well, what we know about the Authors of Pain is they're two huge badass guys, right?
Uh-huh.
That's pretty much it, right? They're super dangerous and super badass, right?
Basically. Go look up. I mean, yeah, from the little I know about them, you know.
Right. Go look up what they are in real life. I told you, Rezar is 6-2 as a heavyweight in MMA.
Uh-huh.
And Akam would have went to the Olympics, but something happened. But he's an Olympic-level wrestler. So they're real-life badasses.
Yeah.
You know, so I just, you know, I did a column like 6 years ago. Yeah. Called The Death of Gimmicks and the Rise of Character Traits. And I feel like that's really, really true now.
Yeah. What? How long ago did you say you wrote this?
Man, like 5-6 years ago, dog.
Man, I would like to read that.
I gotta find it. Like, so when I was writing for Lords of Pain back in the day, I've explained to you before, but I guess I can say this on air. The way the Lords of Pain system works is anybody can write for them, but you start off in their form section, writing in the columns form. It's kind of like a farm system, like in baseball.
Right.
So you write there, and you kind of prove yourself and your worth. And everybody in there is a very familial atmosphere. So, like, everybody's going to give you very constructive criticism, not just on, you know, your topics and tell you their opinions on what you wrote, but they're also going to tell you, all right, well, you know, you need to fix this in your grammar. All right, well, your formatting looks off. I would do this, this, and this. All right, well, don't put your so many blocks of text. Break it up into different paragraphs. Oh, add some color. Like, real criticism, because the goal is hopefully you can get to the main page. But that forum has been reset twice since I started writing. So a lot of the stuff that we all did back in the day is gone. Luckily, I've saved most of my columns, the drafts, but I don't know if I got that one.
That's cool. I mean, I dig it. We'll if we find one, I would definitely love to read it. You know what I mean? Real quick, you want to know something really cool that I just thought about? We were talking about it a little bit ago when you mentioned kayfabe. It popped in my head. But on Saturday, April 21st, I was working an IWR show, Imperial Wrestling Revolution show, in Dallas, Texas. And one of the special guests that came out was selling merch, signing autographs, and got into the ring a little bit before the show and stuff, and you know, was playing around with the you know, stretching out with some of the workers, some of the wrestlers, was Iceman King Parsons, former WCCW champion, right?
Yeah.
I think might have been the only African American WCCW champion as well. I'm not 100% on that, but I was fortunate enough to set in on a kind of a impromptu learning session with Chavo Guerrero Jr. and good old JR, Jim Ross, right?
Uh-huh.
And it was absolutely amazing. And we'll talk about that another time. I'll talk about it in detail. But what was cool was after that, I set in on a little impromptu meeting with Iceman King Parsons about the importance of keeping kayfabe. I just thought that was so cool, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was freaking amazing. Apparently, the night before, he was also there, and there was some people walking around, and we had a couple of heels and a baby face standing near each other. And, you know, he's very old school, you know? And so he was like, hey, man, if that happens, someone needs to stand up and say kayfabe at a loud enough level that we can all hear it. Because there's no need for baby faces and heels to be hanging out. Like, that's not what these people pay for. They pay for kayfabe. And I just thought that was so... That was just the beginning of it. And then he gave a couple of backstories on a couple instances when he himself, as a young man, had to yell kayfabe to some veterans, and then some stories about him getting on young wrestlers as when he was a veteran about not yelling kayfabe, and just the importance of kayfabe going back to, again, into his career, and then talked about the Von Erichs and what all they did to keep, especially Kerry, what he did to keep up with kayfabe. It was just really cool, man. It was really, really cool.
Well, could I ask you a question?
Yeah.
About that?
Of course.
My question to you is, in 2018, the evolution, with the evolutions of the business, with the invent and rise of social media, which makes information so much more readily available and so much faster. And with the business being exposed to the level it is, it's so exposed that now there are reality shows that show literally the creative process of wrestling.
Right, right.
All that being said, do you feel like kayfabe should still be adhered to the way Iceman is saying?
Ooh, that's a good question, man. That is a really good question.
I get that in the 80s and early 90s, right? But the second Vince pulled back at the door and said, hey, this ain't real. It's like, you know, and I guess that goes to that old versus new argument, that old versus young, that veteran versus newbie, that, you know, you don't want to disrespect the past, but you want to embrace the future. But is the past more important than what the future is doing?
Mm-hmm.
It's a real conversation. What do you think?
I mean, that's such a good question, dude. We could talk about this for hours, I bet. We could get different people's opinions and stuff like that. My opinion is, and I would need to do some research to give you some exact details on, or specifics rather, like I would like to talk in specifics, but there's like some shows on the WWE network that I can't remember quite what their names are, but that I would want to reference to. But anyway, I think that that the wrestling business gives us as fans a little bit too much. I think we're allowed to peek through the curtain just a little bit too much. I think that there should be a little bit more kayfabe being kept up with. What about you?
So,
what do you think? Or if you got a follow-up question, I'm all ears, dude.
Well, it's not necessarily a follow-up question because I don't know how to answer that, but I have a response to your statement.
Okay.
I wouldn't mind more of kayfabe, honestly.
Yeah.
There would be a part of me that would find it refreshing, but my response to that is, or my rebuttal, which is probably more accurate to that, is fans would allow that to be the case.
What do you mean?
This is what I mean. Can I use an analogy?
Absolutely, man. We got our own show, bro. This is our show. This is what we do for a living.
You know, I was people used to tell me I was going to be a preacher because I was blessed with the gift of analogy.
Right.
Like, I've always been able to give analogies that kind of can express my point better than what I can say yet.
I got you.
Let me use this analogy. Imagine that there is a couple that's your friends, right?
Okay.
You and your wife are friends with this couple. Let's call them Billy and Mary, okay? And in their personal life, Billy then cheated on Mary. Mary then cheated on Billy. They're about to divorce, all this. But nobody knows but them. Right?
Okay.
And they hang out with you. You guys don't know. Once you guys find out, it's kind of hard going back to not knowing.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
So if let's say you and your wife, they haven't told you, but you and your wife just happen to see the divorce papers on their table. Right? You didn't go look through the stuff. It's literally just sitting on the table. They forgot to put it up. You can't undo that in your mind.
No, absolutely not. You're right.
So think about pro wrestling. We have gone so far and so away from kayfabe, and so far and so away from the old backstage traits of the day, to complete and utter, like, open, like, it's completely open, right?
Right.
Triple H does conference calls. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's as open as it's ever been.
Yeah, have you, just to add in with that real quick, he's announced when he comes on the conference call now as Paul Triple H Levesque. Which kills me, bro, because he'll always be Hunter Hearst Helmsley to me, damn it.
Every time he does an interview on TV, hey, Paul. Oh, what's up, man?
You know,
it's still weird.
I didn't think about this, but my mother-in-law, we love her very much for the show, Karen. Hello, Karen. I forgot that I was going to explain to her that kayfabe, because she's not the biggest wrestling fan. She didn't watch it. She hasn't watched it since she was real young, but kayfabe is, how would you explain kayfabe? It's, you know.
Oh, I got you.
Okay.
Wrestling, professional wrestling as we know it started in carnivals.
Right.
Right. Professional wrestling as we know it was a carnival exhibition back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And so because of its carnival roots, they created a speak that was in carny speak, if you will, that only wrestlers knew so they could communicate in front of people who didn't know. Because the point of wrestling back in the day and up to like 93 or 94 was wrestling is real. So like you were talking about King Parsons, if you were a heel, you only associated with other heels. If you were a heel and seen with a face, that was considered like death in the wrestling business. Like there are stories of a heel and a face being out at a bar together, about to get arrested, and one of them got to run away and literally evade arrest so they won't get seen together. Mr. Wrestling was in a cart. Mr. Wrestling was in a plane crash and literally wrestled a match because he didn't want his identity to be shown to the world because Mr. Wrestling wasn't known to be on that plane, but such and such, his real name was known to be on that plane, who in real life was a booker of the territory, stuff like that.
Yeah,
like,
and,
that's how real it was.
Right, and yeah, Mr. Wrestling was Tim Woods, and he wrestled under the name Mr. Wrestling under a mask, and he wrestled like 5 or 7 days after the plane crash. Like, how did he do that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't know how. No idea how he did it, but that was how important. Like, if you didn't adhere to kayfabe, you might as well just never wrestle again.
It's life or death.
Pretty much. With all that said, man, I didn't forget the point I was going to make. I didn't forget. I'm like you, man. When it go.
Right, right. But basically, you know, it's just, it's the It's the word we use to pretend that it's real, to suspend our disbelief, you know, and kayfabe is the term we use to, like, when you're watching, that's why I asked you to explain it. It's hard for me. I don't really know how to explain it, man. Like, I know what it means, obviously, you know what I mean, but.
Sure, well, it's, yeah, so the word kayfabe is supposed to be fake backwards.
What?
Yeah. Fake backwards in Pig Latin.
Really?
Yeah.
I never knew that. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, it literally is just another way to say fake.
Right on. Anyway, yeah. I just wanted to explain that real quick to my mother-in-law. I know she listens. And there might be some other people out there that didn't exactly know what the term kayfabe meant. Obviously, I don't even fully know what the term kayfabe means. If I can't explain it. No.
You know what it means. It's just not everybody knows its origins.
Yeah. Right. But yeah, like to go back to your question, to get back to what we was talking about, the term or yeah, it is. I think it is probably too late to pull the reins and slow down and kind of go back to that old way. But in a perfect world, you know, whenever it became obvious and people started acknowledging. Yeah, wrestling is choreographed. I don't like using the word fake because it's not fake.
Oh, yeah. It's scripted.
It's scripted. Yeah. But I probably wouldn't have gave away as much as I did. Now, obviously, WWE knows what they're doing. You know, it's a $1 billion corporation. They've got a network that runs 24/7, and you know what I mean. And I love wrestling. I'm not saying that. You know the disappearance, the death of kayfabe hasn't ruined wrestling for me by any means. I just sometimes, like, I wish that I had that little bit of mystery to go with it. Like, what do you think really goes on behind stage? Like, you know, this looks fake. I mean, excuse me, this could be real, it could be fake, you know what I mean? Like, and, you know, knowing that, you know, Seth Rollins and The Miz, you know, hang out backstage. Like, it'd be nicer if I was like, I wonder if they don't hang out. I wonder if they do. You know what I mean?
Well, here's the thought process behind the whole change. The government was pushing Vince in the steroid trial. And then, you know, the company had to make a distinction. I don't know if this started before or after or around, but it was all around the same 4 or 5 year period. Because if you're a sport, you're regulated differently, right? You had to be regulated a certain way if you're a sport.
Right.
And because people didn't know if it was fake or real, they were thinking, okay, well, you know, there must be some air of realness about it. Regulation got to happen. And that's, Vince was like, nah, bro, we entertainment. We're not real. We entertainment. So this is the thought process. Infinity War just happened, right?
Okay.
Marvel. Josh Brolin plays Thanos. All movie fans can discern the fact that Josh Brolin is Thanos from... They can discern Josh Brolin from Thanos. So Josh Brolin walking down the street, you're not going to scream at him and be mad at him for what he did in the movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So Vince was thinking, if we're really going to be sports entertainment, we're really going to... not even so much change genres as create our own genre, you know, and we're going to reach the next level, you know, there has to be some, there has to be something about it that not only stops insulting fans' intelligence, but allows us to still be able to tell stories. But, like, I don't want Sergeant Slaughter people to go to his house and try to kill him because he plays a character that was an Iraqi sympathizer. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like, we're past that. You know what I mean? Like, everybody hated Muhammad Hassan, but nobody tried to fight Mark Capone. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that was a catalyst because, you know, people have done some horrific things in movies and television, but at the end of the day, when the show go off, we know is another person. So I feel like Vince wants that same aspect for wrestling. And I don't disagree with the premise. I don't, because it helps these guys live lives.
Right.
Because now they can be themselves.
That's a very good point.
Right? Like, so now, Tommaso Ciampa can, I don't think he's married, but let's say he was married and had kids, hypothetically speaking, right?
Okay.
If we still thought this was real, he wouldn't be able to leave his house.
It's very true.
See this dude walking down HEB. Well, no, that's right. People listening might all be from Texas. Walking down their grocery store.
Yeah.
You know, somebody gonna jump that dude.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Roddy Piper didn't been attacked. Who was it that got stabbed? You know, like, that's not a life to live, dog.
Yeah.
Not now.
Who was that? Was that Ole Anderson? I know Arn Anderson got stabbed by Sid Vicious, but there was...
That's a different reason.
Yeah, that was for totally different, but there was someone that got stabbed by a fan.
It might have been Ole, yeah.
I think Ole got stabbed in, like, the ass or something one time by a fan.
Yeah, like ass or the, like,
lower back
side area.
Something
yeah.
like that. Yeah. But yeah, man, I totally agree. That's a good point, man. That is a really good point that allows people to kind of live their lives, because you realize, you know, it helps people associate that person with they're an actor. You know, they're not really, you know, this big piece of shit, you know, which I think is cool. Sidebar, mentioning Tommaso Ciampa, I about got my wife talked into naming our next child Tommaso.
She agreed to that?
So far, she's agreed to the middle name if it's a boy. If we have a boy,
me and your wife need to sit down and talk.
I love the name. She's a full blooded Italian, right? So
yeah, wow.
Yeah, she's a full blooded Italian, so she doesn't really like the name. But after I convinced her, I was like, "Look, it's an Italian name. Like, you know, you'll love it." And so we'll figure it out.
stop playing up the nationalistic stuff, man. That's messed up. But as an Italian, you're Italian, you have to do it.
Yeah. Well, all right, man. So I got a question for you, and it's the question that we said that we were going to talk about today on the show.
Sir.
And, you know, just like we do this, you know, we try to do this type of episode one time every week where it's just, we call it going down the rabbit hole. We just start with a topic or two, and we just talk. We just chop it up. You know what I mean? And that's exactly what we've been doing today. And this is, quite frankly, it's one of my favorite days of the week. Anytime we do this. So, and last time we did it, our friend from across the way, Darren. What's up, Darren?
What's up?
Yeah, the last time we did this type of episode, he said it was the best episode in our short lifespan of the show thus far. He said it was the best episode we had ever done. So thank you for that, Darren. We appreciate that very much. It's very, very awesome. And before we get started, real quick, let's give a shout out to Chairshot Radio and Chairshot.com. We are, this is our third episode, correct?
Third, yeah.
Our third episode being a part of the Chairshot Radio Network family. So we appreciate that very much. You can now find our show on two different places on iTunes. So we're under our name still, and we're under the Chairshot Radio Network name. Other places you can find us now besides iTunes is iHeartRadio, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, CastBox, Podbean, TuneIn Radio, Auto Radio, and Player FM. So you can literally find us just about any freaking place that you want to listen to a podcast, my friends. So check us, you know, if you obviously you're already checking us out, but go and leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter. Ray is at It's Ray Cash. I am at Fox the Podcaster, and the show is at World Class Pod. That's World Class POD. You can also find us on Facebook. You can actually put in our Twitter handle on Facebook and search for us, and it'll pull right up. And that's at World Class Pod, POD. And you can also check us out. We're going to each be writing a weekly article that'll drop on thechairshot.com every single Monday. Anything I'm missing?
No. That's it for now, yeah.
Yeah, we got some really cool things in the works in the next, what I'd say, 3 months. We're going to be having some stuff. So that stuff should be coming out pretty soon. It'll be real cool. But anyway, like I was saying before I gave all the shout-outs that I wanted to give out, that we wanted to give out, I wanted to talk about the final question that we're going to talk about today before we upload the show, and that is the question of the day, which is what I texted you about early this morning saying, dude, I want to talk about this because I want to know our opinions on it. So I put a... I put a poll up on Twitter, so go vote on Twitter. You can also explain your answer in the comments if you feel like it. We would love to read it. We're going to talk about the poll and some of the answers on Friday. But the question is, who did more for the business as... Who did more for the wrestling business as a whole? Hulk Hogan or Stone Cold Steve Austin? I'm going to answer, and then I'll defer to you to answer, Ray, and then we'll talk about it, each of our points of view. I'm going to say, even though I don't want it to be, because I don't like this guy, but I say it's Hulk Hogan.
Okay.
What do you say?
I believe it's Hulk Hogan, too.
You think it's Hulk Hogan as well?
Yeah.
I wish it was Stone Cold. I grew up a big Stone Cold Steve Austin guy. I was huge, or a guy, a kid, I was a child. But I was a huge Stone Cold Steve Austin fan. And I think he did a lot for the business. And I think he is actually second to Hulk Hogan. But I think Hulk Hogan did the most. I've read reports before. Now, you know, this could be rumor and innuendo. But I don't think, if they're wrong, I don't think
Wait, hold on. Just 1 sec. I'm sorry to stop you. But I got to make you laugh real quick.
Okay.
Mind you, I've never listened to Bruce Pritchard's podcast before.
Okay.
So I watched the first episode about WrestleMania 14 of Something Else to Wrestle With on the network, WWE Network, right?
Right.
Conrad used the term rumors and innuendo like 7 times in 10 minutes, and I was losing my mind.
I probably stole it from Conrad Thompson, because I've listened to Conrad when he... hosted the Rick Woo Nation, which was Ric Flair's first podcast. I listened to Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard, and I also listened to 83 Weeks, which is his new podcast with Eric Bischoff. And then I've also listened to What Happened When, WHW, with Tony Schiavone, and that's probably the worst podcast that he hosts, just because Tony Schiavone... doesn't know much about the backstage stuff. I always thought he was a good commentator, but he doesn't know much about the backstage. So anytime Conrad asks him a question, all he has is the fan perspective of it. But anyway, we'll talk about that another time.
It just made me laugh.
Yeah.
I
got you.
So yeah, rumors and innuendo. Every time I hear that, I'm going to laugh so hard now because I know where that comes from. But yeah, right. I apologize. Please continue.
You're good. But so there's rumor and innuendo that Hogan, in the 80s, there were times in the 80s that he made $1 million a week.
Holy Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I have heard the Honky Tonk Man say in multiple shoot interviews on YouTube that he knows for a fact that there were matches, single pay-per-view matches, where Hogan would make $300,000. In the 80s.
Okay.
That's incredible.
Wow.
So for him to be making that much, he had to be doing an amazing job for the business, right? And him and Andre the Giant are probably the two most well-known wrestlers of all time. And I do know, people will tweet in and, tweet in. We absolutely love when people tweet in. I'm not trying to defer you from tweeting in. All I'm saying is I know some people will say, but Stone Cold broke all of Hogan's box office records, his t-shirt sales records, and I understand that, and that's why I'm saying Stone Cold is a close second. But when Hogan got to the WWF, I don't remember, I think it was 82 is when he came up from, when he came up to the WWF, if I'm not mistaken. He might have been there earlier for Vince Senior. But at any rate, when he came up there, it was basically a regional promotion. It was a territory promotion.
Yeah, it was still Capital Wrestling. Yeah,
right. And it was still, you know, from I think Washington D.C. up, you know, up New York City, Philadelphia, you know, and all that area. But it was still regional. Vince McMahon, with Vince McMahon's mind and Hogan's on-screen character and personality, I mean, they took over the wrestling world. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I think Hogan did something that no other wrestler had ever done. I think Stone Cold came in and did what a lot of wrestlers have done, and that's be the number one babyface in your promotion, but he did it better than anyone, including Hogan. But I think what Hogan did was singular and hasn't been done since. I mean, you can't do what he did now, because you know what I mean? Unless he was to go, unless somebody was to go and say, take the promotion I work for, IWR, Imperial Wrestling Revolution, somehow take it from a regional independent promotion and be so on fire that he took it to where it's as big as WWE. That would be the equivalent of what Hulk Hogan did, right?
Yes, pretty much, yeah.
Basically. It was a big... Yeah. Now, Capital Wrestling, WWF, was a bigger... was a bigger territory, obviously, than what we run down here in the South with IWR. But, absolutely. I mean, it would still be the same basis. Taking a regional promotion and taking it worldwide.
Yes.
So that's my opinion. As bad as I want to say Stone Cold, and I think Stone Cold is up on your Mount Rushmore of wrestlers, but I think that what Hogan did, again, I think what he did was singular. I don't think it had truly happened before, and I don't think it will ever happen again, what he did for the wrestling business. So, what say you, Ray?
All right, so I'm about to hit you with some hot takes.
Uh-oh.
First and foremost, Stone Cold isn't on my Mount Rushmore.
What?
No.
Oh, bro, give me that Mount Rushmore then. Give it to me.
Hogan.
Okay.
Taker.
Oh, okay.
Rock. And Cena.
Rock is on there and not Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Let me tell you why.
Okay.
And in fact, you know what? I'll tell you why after I tell you why Stone Cold isn't. Why the answer to your question is Hulk Hogan. Okay?
Bro, I got my vape in one hand and my coffee in the other hand. I got my hands on my knees. I mean, I got my elbows on my knees and I'm all ears right now.
By the way, so you're a backpack rapper. That's your first single. I got my vape in my coffee.
Got my vape in my coffee. Got my elbows on my knees. Boom, boom, boom.
You were good until you beatbox.
Great
until you beatbox. Okay. So I have 3 points as to why it's Hulk Hogan.
Okay.
I'm going to give you... The first one is that... Hulk Hogan was the top money draw and star for two companies. So it's not that he took WWF to another level. Right? Reached it to the apex it could reach at the moment it reached it, right?
Right.
And all that money. And then he left, and he was so profitable that he'd made WCW from not a regional, it was national, but from a really small national to beating WWE for 83 weeks.
Yeah, dude, I forgot. I didn't even mention the WCW time. Sorry, go ahead.
Right. No, yeah, no, absolutely. You're dead right, yeah. By all means, you know, if you got a point, chime in. But that is... Austin, while he may have dollar for dollar made more money because of the time, and definitely took the entire business of wrestling to its highest point in terms of interest and eyes, what Hogan did was effectively change wrestling from the point where he made, but whatever company he was at was the top company.
Right, absolutely.
That's number one. Number two, and Stone Cold will tell you this himself. I, maybe we're looking at different criteria, but I can't just strictly speak about wrestling, because Stone Cold was amazing for wrestling, but nothing else. Hulk Hogan was the first, was the guy who created another lane for wrestlers. So Hogan did movies, Hogan did TV shows, Hogan did cartoons, Hogan sold, was the first guy to really start selling merch to the level he sold. Like, Hogan changed the business for wrestlers in that you can do other stuff other than wrestle in this ring and make money. Okay? Rocky III changed everything. Hogan being in that movie. You know, I think it's Rocky III. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah, where, it was the beginning of Rocky III. Wow. He played Thunder Lips.
Okay. Wow, that's a hell of a name. Thunder Lips. Okay.
Yeah.
I need to watch his Rocky movies. I really do. But while Austin was everything for the sport of wrestling, he hasn't been very relevant outside of it. You know? He hosts a very, very, very popular and successful podcast. What is his podcast about? Wrestling. He did a few movies. They didn't do well. The one movie he did good, the one movie he was in that did well, Longest Yard, it was a cameo. Not cameo, but you know, it was an ensemble.
A supporting role.
Yeah. And personally, I enjoy the Broken Skull challenge that he does, a TV show, but that's on country music television. Doesn't really get a lot of eyes. So Austin is known specifically and solely for wrestling. Hogan, there are people who know Hogan from strictly from Rocky III. There are people who know Hogan strictly from Hogan Knows Best, the reality show. You know? So, while Hogan was everything to wrestling, he was more to people who are outside of wrestling. And number three, I want to use the analogy of who was a more important president, George Washington or FDR? FDR led the company to its, the country to its biggest economic growth ever, right?
Right.
Deal, all the stuff and the other. But that doesn't happen if you don't build the damn country first. Right?
Yeah.
So while Austin took it to levels unmatched ever and since, and probably never will be reached that level again, he could have done it if Hogan wouldn't have laid the blueprint. WrestleMania now was one of the top 10 entertainment companies or values or brands in the world. Super Bowl, Olympics, WrestleMania. Like, that's the level WrestleMania's on. Ain't no WrestleMania without Hogan. In fact, the only reason there was WrestleMania was because people cared about Hogan so much, it was a conduit for people to see Hogan have his biggest matches. So, I say all this openly admitting that I don't like the guy very much, personally. But you can't take away what this man did. So, to come back to the Mount Rushmore question, Austin is not in my Mount Rushmore because please understand what I'm saying. None of this is a diss towards Austin. None of this means I don't like Austin. None of this is meant to be disrespectful to Austin. I'm speaking facts. Okay?
Right.
Austin didn't give back to the business very much. Austin was extremely selfish in what he in his aspirations in the business. And Austin didn't do anything of note outside of the business. Okay?
Okay.
So when I look at my four, I'm thinking of the four most important people who are wrestlers, because of course Vince would be on it if it was non-wrestlers. But the four most important people in wrestling history, WWE wrestling history, let's be fair. You know, because Inoki could be on there, Ricky Dozen or some other, like, but American wrestling history.
Okay. Okay.
I feel like Hogan, I just explained. Rock is the biggest star in the world. Not wrestling star. Star in the world. So Rock took something and made it so much bigger now. So now what Rock has done is I took the Hogan blueprint and I flipped it. So Hogan was a big movie star, but he only did a couple movies. What? The Three Ninjas. And Rock has completely left wrestling and shown other guys like a Dave Bautista, like a John Cena, that it's possible out here to go and make a living outside of wrestling and do better than you did in wrestling.
Yeah.
Still come back to the sport and show you love it. That's huge, because that's bigger than wrestling. That teach a man, give a man a fish he can eat for a day, teach a man a fish he can eat for a lifetime type stuff, right?
Okay.
So that's why I put Rock over Austin. Because if you strictly just leave it to wrestling, yeah, Hulk, like Austin trumps Rock a little bit, but totality, Rock is over Austin in my opinion. So it's Hogan and Rock. Cena has been the top star for longer than any person in WWE history. On top of that, Cena, the merch he's done for as long as he's done it, Cena sells so much merch, he has a clothing line.
Cena does? I didn't know that.
That's the thing. It's not his personal clothing line. They just sell his stuff at Kmart because his stuff sells so much.
What?
Yeah, his stuff sells. Go to Kmart.
Go to Kmart.
Yeah, you'll see Cena stuff. And I'm talking about his t-shirts, like you'll see Cena underwear.
Yeah, Cena yeah.
Stuff, you know?
Right.
Excuse me. On top of that, Cena has led the change of the business, because Cena became the top guy when the business had to change again. It had to go to PG. It became more reality-based. More information now is known than it's ever been. And Cena led that charge. The internet, yeah, we had internet in 97, 98, but the internet, what it is now, you know what I mean? It's a whole nother level. Cena was the leader of that charge.
Right,
so,
right.
You know what I mean? So while Austin was king of the biggest era, we have to remind ourselves that the Attitude Era, while ultimately truly influential, was 4 years. Austin's peak, 4 years. It's truth.
Mm-hmm.
So we look back on this, you know, that's like saying that, oh, well, Michael Jordan is the greatest of all time. Well, how long did he play? 6 years. No, he had to play a little longer to get that jurisdiction. And while Austin did stuff unknown to anybody, 4 years. He wrestled longer, which, you know what I mean, it's peak.
Right.
Cena's peak was like 12. And I know you're not the biggest fan of him, and I'm not going to get into the in-ring stuff or whatnot, but
right,
everything
right.
About
it.
Yeah. The reason I put Taker over Austin is this. Taker has been the leader of the locker room. Taker is the most respected wrestler in history, maybe even more than Andre to this point. And I realize that's another hot take in his own self.
Mm-hmm.
Taker is the conscience of the WWE. If, like, Taker is so much the conscience of WWE that Triple H went to Taker when he started dating Stephanie and asked him, do you think I should do this?
I heard that rumor. I've read that before.
Yeah, it's the absolute truth. On top of that, something even more known, that when Bret Hart got screwed, Taker was the one who said, all right, you need to explain this to us, or you getting your ass beat and we all leave it. Like, when they say it's Taker's locker room, it's Taker's locker room. You don't even have to be there. It's Taker's locker room, okay? On top of that, his longevity. And then he took what Hogan built at WrestleMania and took it a whole other level. Because while Cena main evented a lot of Manias and Hogan and Rock had their couple, for the past, from WrestleMania 24? WrestleMania 24 to WrestleMania 30, yeah. And maybe a few other years like splattered in, but definitely those 6 years, WrestleMania was built. I wouldn't go 30, I'd say 29, because WrestleMania 30 was about Daniel Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
All those WrestleManias were built around The Undertaker.
Hmm.
And only one of those years was title match.
That was 29 against, or that was 24 against Edge, right?
Exactly.
Who won that match?
I think Vicky Guerrero came in, did a run in, and became the first female WWE champion.
Excuse me!
She's a sweetheart, by the way.
Yeah, that's what my boy Jerry says. Jerry has worked with Chavo, obviously, quite a bit. Him and Chavo are friends. We interviewed Chavo on the show a couple weeks ago, but he's also worked with Vicky, and he says she's just an absolute wonderful lady.
Yeah, she lives in Houston. Like, you know, she's very accessible. She's very friendly, all that stuff. But, so that's why, I guess to give you an analogy. Are you a big basketball fan?
Mm-hmm.
I would liken Austin to Shaq.
Okay.
In that Shaq was the most dominant player of ever. Nobody was ever more dominant. When Shaq wanted to win, he was unstoppable. But, and maybe Shaq's not the best analogy because Shaq did a lot of stuff outside of basketball. But what I mean is that while Shaq was great, other people have done so much that it's eclipsed it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So Austin was a superstar in wrestling and wrestling alone. He didn't do it. He didn't give anything extra to the business outside of being ultra successful. Everybody else I put on my Mount Rushmore was not only great for wrestling, but took wrestling to a different and better place.
I got you.
So, yeah.
Well, that's cool, man.
That was a pretty long explanation. I'm sorry.
It's all good, man. So, anybody that's listening, if y'all want to tweet in and tell us why we are wrong and why Stone Cold actually did more for the business, we will totally, if you make a solid point, we will totally put that on the show on Friday.
Well, delete.
We'll totally put that on the show on Friday. Now, if you just tweet in and it's like, "Fuck y'all, Stone Cold was cool, was better," I'll be like, "Yeah, man, that's he was cooler, definitely." But I can't really just put that on the show. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, Ray, that's all I've got for today. If you're good, bro.
I am. Yeah, I'm straight.
Well, cool. Well, you got anything you want to say to our peeps out there before we go?
We have a special collaboration that you and I are doing later on today. We'll tell you more about that tomorrow.
But, yes, sir.
Look out for that. Yeah,
absolutely.
We are making a guest appearance on a friend of the show podcast, if that makes sense. But
absolutely,
you'll hear more about that tomorrow. So, but look out for that. We got some extra stuff coming. Should be recording an Edge with Carl, if not tonight, tomorrow. So look out for that. But yeah, big things coming. As the modern philosopher Clifford T.I. Harris would say, big things popping, little things stopping.
All right, everyone, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, leave us a 5-star rating and review, check us out on thechairshot.com. Everyone, stay strong and too sweet.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling, tossed salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face. What is a boy to do?